from your brother, Miles.
Blog Talk Radio.
South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East,
the European theater, Russia or China, the communist bloc country, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. But on today, we are still going to be doing, we're still in Yah's plan of salvation, and it's the overview of that and, you know, why we need salvation. We know because of sin, but there's a lot of times, you know, people don't really understand what sin is and what the Most High constitutes as sin. And then I know on this particular subject tonight, when it comes to being clean or unclean, the church really does not deal with this issue. Might deal with, you know, when Messiah came, he was dealing with somebody with an unclean spirit. And that would be, you know, being possessed. But uncleanliness goes far beyond that. And even in the natural sense, there's a state of being clean and unclean. And not just, you know, being dirty as far as having dirt on you. So we are going to do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and we will go ahead and get into this lesson. We should be just about finished with the overview of Yah's, and then we will start getting into the particulars, baptism of water, baptism by the Holy Spirit, in subsequent lessons. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today, for truly he is worthy. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. You are wonderful. You are marvelous. You are kind. You are merciful. You are gracious, Father. And we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And we thank you for all that you're going to do for us, Father. We just magnify you on today and extol thee and lift thee up. For you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And another one will we not bow down to and worship, Father. For you and you alone, you are Elohim, and there is none like you, no, not one. Hallelujah. You are the good shepherd. You are the only good one. Hallelujah. We just glorify you on today. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 11. Well, let us holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And let me correct something with the broadcast, the Blog Talk broadcast, 15 minutes. Give me 1 second here. Let's see. have to reschedule this. Let me just change the time. Well, I said it was 3 hours. Why did it do what it did? Oh, disregard. Must be looking at, either I'm tired or I'm looking at something wrong. Okay, we're good to go there. All right, so let us go in our Bibles. And in the lesson, we are actually going to be in question number 28 in the question. Can good works save us? Good works save us. Let's go to Psalms chapter 51. And I want to deal with this on today. Point, you know, of the newcomers class and of getting a feeling for, actually, I'm going to set this up. I'm going to add a verse here. We'll come back to Psalms 51 in just a second. And if you will unmute yourselves when you have it, if you'll say amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, and we might get a slight echo here. Yeah. Sister Mary, I'm just going to leave you guys muted, okay?
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person, underline unclean person. You might think that a whoremonger is unclean or a covetous man is unclean. Who is an idolater? Somebody who's an idolater is unclean. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Elohim? No whoremonger, no unclean person. We're going to deal with the unclean person on today, on this evening. Now let's go to the book of 51. So to Psalms 51. So we see that no unclean person is going to enter into the kingdom. We're going to have to find out what that is, okay? Psalms 51 and 5, and when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we were shapen in iniquity, and we were conceived in what? Sin. Even our very conception is sin. Okay, and a lot of people don't know that. That's why nobody can say that they have not what? Sinned? Even their conception was sin. Go to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, chapter 15. The book of Leviticus, chapter 15. We're going to spend a little time there. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. We're going to spend a little time here because this is one of the areas that the church really does not deal with at all. And this is part of the cleanliness law. And we read out of the New Testament, out of Ephesians chapter 5. No unclean person is going to enter into the kingdom. So it's important, you would think that the church would want to know, well, what's unclean? What is this dealing with? Because everybody's not possessed with a, you know, an evil spirit. Everybody's not possessed with a demon, an unclean spirit. But there are some other laws that deal with uncleanliness. So let's go here. And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. Underline that. Now we're dealing with the man right now. So if he has a running issue out of his flesh, you know, something filled with pus, it's going to go into other things. If he's got an open sore and it's oozing, he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanliness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanliness. So it might have stopped oozing and started drying up, but as long as he's got that problem, it's an issue. He's un-what? Clean. Okay? Every bed whereupon he lies that has the issue is unclean. Everywhere where he lies at, as long as he's got this issue, he is unclean. And everything whereupon he sits shall be unclean. That means you got to be doing a whole lot of wiping down, a whole lot of washing when somebody is in this state of being what? Unclean. Okay? And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean, underlined, until the evening. So this type of uncleanliness comes with a time frame. In this case, if you touch anything of an unclean person, you are unclean until the evening. Okay, now there are some specifics to this. And so we're gonna cover this on today as part of this lesson. Whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. And he that sitteth on anything whereupon he sat, the one that's unclean, he that sits on anything whereupon he sat, the one that's unclean, that has the issue, shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Okay? So if you touch anything of theirs while they're in this state, you become unclean. And you have to wash your clothes and yourself, whatever you had on, and yourself, or put it in the dirty clothes until you're going to do laundry, because it's unclean. And you wash your clothes, and then you're unclean until what? The evening. And then let's talk about the evening for a minute. The way the Most High counts days, it's the evening and the morning. So the day starts in the evening and ends the following evening. It's not 12 midnight to 12 midnight. It's not from sunrise to sunset. It's not from sunrise to sunrise. It is evening to evening, sunset to sunset. Okay, this is how he counts his day. That's why he says, and you shall be unclean until the evening, that's the start of the next day. Other than that, that whole entire day, you are what? Unclean. So let's take an example. The sunset is the beginning of a new day. You do something to become unclean. You touch something of someone that is unclean. You are unclean until the whole, you're unclean all that night, all that day, until the next evening. You are unclean. If it happens at 12 noon, you're unclean until the sun goes down. But the evening starts the new day. So I want everybody to understand that. The evening starts the new day. So you're unclean in charge of the new day. Okay? And if he that has the issue spit upon him, that is verse 8, And if he that passeth is to spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Now, this is you're going to find out why this is so important in a second, or in a little bit. And what saddle, wherever he sits, soever he rides upon, that has the issue, shall be unclean. So in those days, you know, they rode donkeys, they rode horses, they rode camels, they rode in a saddle. Wherever they sit at, clean. Now, can you imagine if you're using public transportation, you get on the bus, how many unclean situations we run into? Because the world doesn't follow this. This is not a standard of the world. This is a standard of the Most High. And because the churches don't want to be up under the law and the law of cleanliness. In the scripture, you know, you hear people say cleanliness is next to godliness. But then they never take the time to find out what the Most High considers to be clean and unclean. So I hear, you know, pastors, when I bring this up to them, they're talking about, oh, how about unclean spirits? Talking about having a filthy mouth. I said, you got no clue. Because you haven't studied the law. Okay, let's continue. Any questions so far?
No.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
All right, amen. Verse 10. And whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening. And he that beareth any of those things, if you carry their saddle, you touch their clothes, you touch them, you are unclean. Beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Now, when it says bathe yourself, you can take a shower. Okay, because you'll have, you might run into some website that says bathe. Okay. But they didn't typically have showers in those days. What the Most I want you to do is wash your body down. Wash the uncleanness from you. You can do that in a shower as well. Okay. Verse 11. And whomsoever he touches that has the issue and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And the vessel of earth, let's say you got something that is a cup that is made out of pottery. And, you know, we fire stuff differently, glass and that kind of stuff. But if it was something made out of pottery that the water can soak into, in this case, Mosiah says, the vessel of earth that is touched, which has the issue, shall be broken. You're not even allowed to use that no more. And every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. But if it was made out of clay or something like that, you had to break that. You couldn't use it anymore. And when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, and he shall number to himself 7 days. Now it's talking about the unclean person. This unclean man, because this is dealing specifically with a man. And when he has had an issue, is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing and wash his clothes. So he still, the priest would come and announce him to be clean. Okay, you no longer have this issue. He would still have to stay away from holy things, and we're going to talk about it from that standpoint, for 7 days. 7 days. could not take part in anything holy for 7 days. And bathe his flesh in running water and shall be clean. Now, here is the part where a lot of people don't understand that this is sin. Okay? And on the eighth day he shall take to him two turtle doves and two young pigeons, or two young pigeons, and come before Yah unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, one for a sin offering. To be unclean before the Most High is sin. Underline that. It didn't change today. It's not changed in the New Testament. It is sin. And so they had to offer a sin offering. Now you might say, what do we have to do about that today? Well, if we become unclean, then we're supposed to confess that we're unclean and do what the law says to do. Because this is one of those things that you can be doing it ignorantly, or you can do something knowingly because you got no choice in this matter. And this is one of those that is not unto death. But it is a sin. So we're going to be important. And the priest shall offer them one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before Yah for his issue. The issue was he was unclean. How he got unclean, the Most High didn't really care. Okay. Now, you yourself, you became unclean when you touched them. But for you, all you had to do was wash, and you were unclean until the evening. This person had to be healed from the issue that made them unclean, and then they had to bring a sacrifice. They had to have a sin offering. So in today's world, if somebody isn't, then they would be declared to be unclean. And then when they are declared to be clean, then they must still separate themselves 7 days. And at the end of the seventh day, then they can confess their sin and wash, and they will be what? Forgiven. But what's going to be important, we'll see that in a few. But understand that you can confess this sin, and Messiah will forgive you, because this is not one unto death. You are unclean for a what? Time period? But it's still sin. So it still needs to be brought up under the blood. Now, let's talk about verse 16. If any man's seed of copulation go out from him, if he's having sex, then he shall wash all his flesh in water and be unclean until the evening. So if a man has sex with his wife, then he's unclean until the evening, and so is she. They have to both wash their flesh in water, and then they are unclean until the evening. It's going to become important for certain reasons. And every garment and every skin whereupon is the seed of copulation, the bed sheet, wherever you were at, wherever you were doing it, if any semen gets on it, clean, the seed of copulation, shall be washed with water and be unclean until the evening. So you have to wash it. You know, we got dryers today. You can dry it, and if you want to, put it back on the bed, and you're good to go. But it's still, no matter if you washed it at 12 o'clock in the day, it is unclean until the evening, and you're unclean until the evening. Because, you know, we don't think that, hey, I washed, I'm good to go. But these come with a what? Time frame. Does everybody understand that? No? Maybe so?
Yes.
All right, amen. These come with a time frame. You are unclean until the evening. The woman also, with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening. Now, why is this important? Well, let's talk about the woman next. I'll bring it up as to why this is important at the end, okay? A woman have an issue, and her issue be in her flesh be blood. She shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. This is just like the man. But a woman naturally has a monthly cycle until she don't. Okay, so all women who are of the age of, you know, just having a menstrual cycle, whenever they're on their cycle, they are to be set apart 7 days. This is after their cycle. 7 days. Whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lies upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. Now, this is the same way for the man that is unclean. He's just reiterating now the issue with the woman is on a monthly cycle, she can be in this position if she's still having a cycle. Okay? And if it be on her bed or anything whereupon she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lie with her at all, now this one right here, if any man lie with her at all and her flowers be upon him, if he lies with her while she's on her cycle,
right,
he lies with her while she's on her cycle, he shall be unclean how many days?
1 day.
7 days. I don't care if it was the first day of her cycle or the last day of her cycle, he is now unclean 7 days. Okay? And all the bed whereupon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, in other words, she's bleeding abnormally. And a lot of times when a woman has a child, she will bleed longer than she does, you know, for her normal monthly. If a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. So as long as she's bleeding, she's unclean. There's a lot of women out there that have abnormal, you know, menstrual cycles. But as long as they're on their cycle, they are unclean. And then 7 days after they stop, they are unclean. Okay. Now, in this case, again, anybody that touches her or touches anything that she touches is unclean. And if the man sleeps with her while she's on her cycle, then he's unclean 7 days. Every bed whereupon she lies all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sits upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she be cleansed of her issue, And she shall number to herself 7 days, just like the man. And after that, she shall be clean. And on the eighth day, she shall take unto her two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Why? And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering. She's unclean. If she's unclean, even because of her menstrual cycle, it is considered to be what? Sin. Sin. That's why she had to offer a sin offering, just like the man had to offer a what? Sin offering? To offer a sin offering. In today's time, she would wait her 7 days and then just make her confession because Messiah died for what? Those sins? But we still got to confess our sin. Now, we go by the way of the world, and most women today, that's just a way of life. Don't take it out on Brother Miles. Brother Miles didn't write this. Brother Miles is showing you what the word says. But the matter is, we go out, we go to stores, we touch things, and we don't know what that person, what their condition is. So should we always assume that we are in an unclean condition?
Yes.
It's very possible, right?
Yes.
Because the world doesn't use this standard. But the Most High does. And so we got to understand this. Verse 30. And the priest shall offer one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before Yah for the issue of her uncleanliness. When the Most High says, be ye holy, for I am holy, part of that being holy is being what? Clean. And when we are in a condition that we are not clean, then even if it's part of natural life, then we still got to treat it as though we have what? Sin? He said that we have to offer a sin offering. You don't make a sin offering for what? Non-sin. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Now, when I first saw this, because I didn't get this. This was added to it, but there's another place where the Most High showed me that being unclean is a sin. Because, people say, oh, you're unclean, you just what? Unclean, you go wash? That's not all there is to it. Okay? It is sin. So, people don't look at being unclean as being a sin. I was just unclean. Yeah, but it's a sin. So nobody can ever claim that they have not sinned. Ever. Okay, let's continue. How are you doing? Verse 31. Thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, that they die not in their uncleanliness. Did he say that they live not in their uncleanliness?
No, he said die not.
Yeah, die not in their uncleanliness when they defile my tabernacle. This is the issue. Underline that. When they defile my what?
Tabernacle.
Now, if you defile the tabernacle while you are unclean, it's a death sentence. Important again. When they defile my tabernacle that is among them, this is the law of him that has an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him, and is defiled therewith. And of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that has an issue of the man and of the woman, of him that lies with her, that is unclean. So the Most High don't leave anything. He don't leave anything to what? Question? This is what he expects. Now, there are other scriptures. Let's go. So you underline, defile my tabernacle. Okay. In verse 16, in chapter 16. Give me a hot second to find what I'm looking for here. I know where it's at. Any questions on Leviticus chapter 15?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Leviticus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And the question I want to ask everybody, is Moses making this stuff up, or is he being told by the Most High?
He's being told by the Most High.
All right, amen. Because when they say the law of Moses, then people want to act like Moses, what, made this stuff up? He created these laws? And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, everywhere that Moses breaks the law, you're always going to see this. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying. So why they say the law of Moses, why is it even written that way, is beyond me. You shouldn't even, you should just say what, the law?
The law, yes.
But, you know, they'll say the law of Moses. This is the law of the Most High. It was administered under who? Moses.
Okay.
Okay. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed, so now she's pregnant, and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. And the days of her separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. From her being pregnant and having the baby, and then to the man child being born and being what? Circumcised on the 8th day. Okay. Verse 4. And he shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days for a man child. He shall touch no hallowed thing. He can't come into the sanctuary. He can't take communion. He can't touch anything that is what? Holy. Nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. This is why. Set up under the woman, but it's also for the man. When we are in an unclean state, we cannot touch anything that is holy. Not take part in it. And I know Christians, I was one of them, have sex Sunday morning, go to church, because we weren't taught this. And we'd be in front of the Most High just as what? Unclean as we want to be. So you can't touch anything hallowed when you are unclean. Now, we're not going to worry about all the rest of these verses. Any question as to why you can't touch, you can't go into the sanctuary, you can't participate in anything that is holy when you are what? What does it become when we do that? Other than that, you can what? Wash, and you're unclean until when?
Evening.
Until the evening. For most of this. Now, if you are still having your issue, you are unclean as long as you're what? Having that issue?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are unclean by virtue because you touched something that was unclean, you can wash, or you were having sex, you can wash and you're unclean until the what? Evening. And that takes care of that. But as long as, if you were the one that is having the issue, whether it's a blood issue or whether it is, you know, a semen issue, well, if a semen issue, you can wash and you're unclean until the evening. If it's a blood issue, then you have to, you're unclean. Once you're declared to be healed, you're unclean 7 days. And if it's for childbirth, you know, for 33 days. And if it's a male, it's 66 days. Can't have anything to do with anything that's holy. Let's read that so that we can make sure we cover that. Let's read verse 5. But if ye bear a male child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks. Let's see. Let's go back. There's a man child. I got that backwards. A male child, she's going to be unclean 33 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And actually, really, a total of 40 days. Let's see where we get this from. Go back to verse 2. Add this up. Speak unto the children of Israel, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. We got 7 days right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to the day of her separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Has nothing to do with her uncleanness. She's still unclean. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. Mm-hmm. So 33 and 7 is what?
41.
That's actually 40 days. Mm-hmm. If we go 8 days, 41. Then it's 41 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, 14 days, as in her separation. And she shall continue in her blood of her purifying 3 4, that's 60 and 6 days. Female child. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon for, or a turtle dove for a what?
Sin offering.
They might say, where did she sin at? Because there was what? Blood. Now, we might say, well, that ain't fair. I'm going to tell you to take it up with the Most High. Take it up with the Most High. I didn't write this. So I know a lot of women have said, well, that's not fair. Take it up with the Most High. Your problem is, your issue is not with me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think it's fair? I didn't say whether it was fair or not. The Most High said this is what it is. Okay. Bring it for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, and he shall offer it before Yah and make an atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law of her that has borne a male or a female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, we don't have to read these anymore because we have who? Messiah? But she still needs to go on what? we are supposed to do what? Confess our sin? Yes, acknowledge it. Where 1 John 1 and 5 comes in. If we confess our sin, he is true and just to forgive us our sin. We have to acknowledge that we were in that state. Now, somebody might say, well, Messiah knew I was going to get pregnant. Look, I would not take a chance with my eternity, being a male or a female, because if you take part in something holy while you are unclean, the Most High says that you will die for that. It is a sin unto death at that point. Anybody not understand it? Okay, I'm going to take silence as being golden. All right, so you can be unclean. And, you know, the thing, I think I found it now. I've forgotten where I found it at. Because eating unclean, I don't think that there is a way that he says that there's a way for you to, how long you're unclean for that. If you eat something that is forbidden. So in the New Testament, Messiah is dealing with, he's not dealing with eating unclean food. With what? Eating with unwashed hands? But not the foods themselves. I thought I found it, but I've been looking for it, but now it escapes me. It's not coming to my mind where I found it at. Hold on a second. But I'm going to say you want to take it from here. Let me find this first. It came to my head. To Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 39. And when you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
And let me make sure everybody's there. If you said something, Sister Lorraine, you could not be heard. I saw your mic come on.
Said, amen.
Okay. Let me turn your mic up. Okay, gotcha. Leviticus 11 and verse 39. If any beast of which, underlying which you may what? So there's some beasts that you can eat. There's some beasts that you what? Cannot eat?
Cannot.
He that touches the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the what?
Amen.
Wait a minute. This is the carcass of a beast that you what?
Can eat.
Can eat. And he that touches the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. He also that bears the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be what? Verse 41. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goes upon the belly, whatsoever goes upon all fours, or whatsoever has, when we talk about all fours, he's talking about those things that creep, that go on 4 feet, like roaches and things like that. Whatsoever goes upon the belly and whatsoever goes upon all fours or whatsoever has more feet among all creeping things that creep upon earth, them shall you not eat, for they are an abomination. And you shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am Yah your Elohim, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy. For I am holy, neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am Yah that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Okay. Let's go back up. Now, this just talks about touching them, because the Most High says, I know daggone well you ain't going to eat it.
Can't touch it.
Can't touch it. Okay. So let's go, let's just start at verse 1. Okay, let's look at this. While we're there, we're just doing it, because we're dealing with it. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Now remember, even the ones that you can eat, if they're dead and you touch them, you are what?
Unclean.
Okay. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven with it, and chews the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, chew grass, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the coney, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare is a rabbit, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divides the hoof, and be cloven footed, yet he chews not the cud, he is unclean to you. So that's why a pig is unclean. Of their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall you eat. Now, again, he says, if you touch these, you're unclean till the evening. Okay, so I'm just going to show you that. If you touch them, he didn't say nothing about eating them. Okay? So let's read this. Eagles and things like that, they're an abomination. I want to go down here. Go down to verse 24. And for these you shall be unclean. Whosoever eats them,
such as the cock,
shall be unclean until how long?
Evening.
Until the evening. If you touch the carcass, didn't say anything about eating them. It's just saying touching them. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 66. Go to Isaiah chapter 66 and let's get verses Starting verse 15. Starting in verse 15, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. For behold, Yah will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger and his fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by the sword, now when you are pleading with somebody with the sword, do you think you're talking to them?
No.
You come in doing some hacking and doing whatever, right?
No.
You taking some life. For by fire and by the sword will Yah plead with all flesh. The slain of Yah shall be a few.
Many.
Shall be many. The slain of Yah. He's coming, he says, I'm coming with my sword. And I'm not going to be anything nice. They that sanctify, that separate themselves and purify in the garden, behind one tree in the midst, eating what?
Wine, flesh.
And the abomination and the mouth shall be what?
Consumed.
Forgiven. Shall be given mercy.
No. Consumed.
Together. So this is how, you know, I don't think when we eat anything abominable, the Most High didn't give us a time period. He didn't give us a time period for to be unclean with it. He says, all everybody that he finds eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, he's going to do what? Consume them. That means they're going to be slain. Is this a plain issue? Is this something that we should take serious?
Yes.
He takes it serious. When he returns, everybody that he finds doing it, he's going to kill them. So what, you know, this is when he returns, when he comes. So how can the church say that they can eat whatever they want to eat? They're not reading those scriptures in light of what's already what written. It's already written in the law. Now, here's my question to you, to each and every one of you. You just read that he says that if he finds you eating swine flesh or any abominable thing in their mouth, he's going to what? Consume you. He's going to kill you. Let's go to the New Testament. Please, let's go to Romans chapter 14, I believe is where it's at. The book of Romans, chapter 14. And before we jump into it, let me make sure that's the right place. No, I need to teach this in a separate lesson. Hold on. I really do believe that this particular chapter is the test chapter. Hold on a minute. Let's see, what am I looking at?
before.
Go to Colossians chapter 2. This verse is used a lot. Colossians chapter 2, and when you have it, let's say amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let no man therefore judge you in what?
Or drink.
Or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath day. Now, people will take this verse, or these verses, and use them as their authority
to eat
whatever they want to eat, okay? And not what? Keep the holy days? Or the new moon, or the Sabbath. But when he says, let no man therefore judge you, you are judged when you commit a what? When you transgress. You are not judged when you don't transgress. So he says, let no man therefore judge you in me. But if he's not going to judge you in me, and I'm going to use this one for right now to show that if we understand what he says, let me put it this way. If I told you before this is wrong, and I tell you when I come, anybody I find doing it, I'm going to kill, why would I give everybody in between that permission to do it?
Right.
Does that even make sense? This is a law. Don't do it. Anybody that when I come back, I'm going to come with my sword, and anybody that I catch consuming wine flesh or the abomination or the mouse, I'm going to consume them. Now, if I'm going to do that when I come back, why would I tell you it's okay to do before I get back? If it's okay for you to do when I get back and you don't know when I'm coming back, and I catch you sucking on a pork chop bone, I'm going to kill you. What will you say? That I'm unjust? You said it's okay. Does that make sense at all? It makes absolutely no sense. None whatsoever. So when he says, don't let anybody, therefore, you be judged in meat, it's you eating, don't be judged in eating unclean meat, because the law already says you can't eat them. That's already written. And the Most High didn't tell Peter, I'm making all these things but clean. He compared the unclean meat to the unclean animals to the Gentiles. Them now. But he didn't say, I'm making all this stuff okay. Now, I will have to teach Romans chapter 14 at a different time. A subject by itself, because this is my understanding. Hold on a second. I'm not doing research. Go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20. I'm going to get another place too. Okay. Everybody at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Elohim has come down to do what? Class participation.
To serve you. I don't need to hear you.
Okay. No, I want to hear y'all. I asked a question, but I wasn't hearing anything back. That his fear may be before your faces, that you what?
Then not.
Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 2. The book of Judges, chapter 2. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Judges chapter 2, and we're going to be getting probably verses 19, 20, 21, 22. Judges, I got to get there myself. Chapter 2. And let's start in, to get a, start in verse 20. Amen?
Amen.
And the anger of Yah was hot against Israel. And he said, because this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened or listened unto my voice, I will not henceforth drive out any from before you of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Now, Joshua was supposed to drive out all these nations, right? But he didn't drive them all out. And because the people made the Most High mad, he says, now I'm not going to drive them out from before you. Okay, so they're going to be left in the land. I will also not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them, through the ones that he didn't drive out, I may do what to Israel? That I may prove Israel, whether they will what? It's important that we see this. Find out where I'm at. Okay. Verse 22, again, that through them, through the nations that I did not drive out, that Joshua what, left in the land, that I may prove Israel, how, whether they will keep the way of Yah to walk therein as their fathers did, keep it, or what, not.
Or not.
Therefore, Yah left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. I need to prove this people whether they're going to keep my way. That's what, when I'm in Romans chapter 14, the Most High is saying, I already told you, right from wrong. I told you what pleases me and what don't please me. My what? Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Go to Romans chapter 14 real quick. Romans chapter 14. We're not going to read it all. I'm just going to show you what the test is. How it's written. Start in verse 1. Him that is weak, oh, when you have a say, amen.
Amen.
Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputation. For one believes. Now, underline one believes. That he may what? Eat all things? And another who is weak, eateth herbs. Now, when he's saying eat all things, he's really talking about all clean things, okay? Let him that eats despise not him that eateth not. And let him, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For Elohim has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth, or falls. Yet he shall be holding up, for Elohim is an. One man esteems what? One day above another? If he, in verse 2, that he said the Most High says that any man can eat all things.
No.
He said this is what that man believes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he may eat all things. And if we are in the church, if we are worldly, if we don't understand the law, were we ever able to eat everything that walked?
No.
So this all things here is actually pertaining to those things that are allowed. Okay? But if you don't know that, then you're going to apply it to what? All things? Because if you don't understand the law, then when you read this, may eat all things, again, is it the Most High saying that you may eat all things?
No.
The way this is written, one man, one believeth that he may eat all things. Let's go down to verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Were we told what day to esteem above all days?
Yes.
So now we got a man here who esteems one day above another, and another esteems what? Every day alike? But we've already been instructed in this matter, right? So let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You need to be fully persuaded whether you're going to obey the Most High or not, or whether you're going to do what's right in your own eyes. So the church will read these verses and the rest of this chapter as though it gives them the right to eat all things. But again, I say to you, this is a test. If I tell you what's right, what is so that you can distinguish the holy from the what? Unholy? The clean from the unclean? If I tell you what is acceptable, and then you go do what you want to do, then just like you said, I left some nation, Israel, I left some of the people there to do what? To prove Israel? To see if they will walk in his way? He put these verses in here to see who's going to keep the commandments, or who's going to take it upon themselves to say it's okay to do these things. All right. Any questions on clean and unclean?
No, sir.
So I have a question for you guys.
You fall off?
No, I'm here. I'm looking for what I'm looking for.
I can.
Yeah, no, I'm still looking. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to get verse 17, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith Yah. And touch things, and I will receive you. If this is just an unclean spirit, how many of us have touched an unclean spirit?
I went on.
I mean, this is a what if question. Sister Mary, you got an input.
Okay, you talked about like eating.
I'm not talking about anything. I'm asking in that verse. But everywhere that you look at in the scripture, Messiah dealt with unclean spirits, right?
Right.
So can you touch an unclean spirit?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so is this all that's pertaining to?
No.
So give me your understanding.
I'm thinking it's pertaining to anything that he said that's unclean. Whether it be food, whether it be people, whether it be spirit.
Okay.
I'm thinking he said whatever he said that's unclean.
What do you think?
That's what I was thinking, the same thing, that whatever he said unclean.
Okay.
Do you have an input on that?
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah, I'm. All right, Sister Lorraine. Let me find a verse. I'm gonna play devil's advocate.
I got a question, Brother Miles.
Okay, go ahead.
Can bad teaching be an unclean thing?
Bad teaching. They're teaching you to do unclean. Yeah, you can look at it that way. Let's go back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, you have
it saved.
We're going to get verse 14.
Get verse 14.
I know.
And I'm
going to
mute
you for a
second.
I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. What do you do with that verse? Now, Sal's going to play devil's advocate, so somebody's going to pull this on you.
Okay, I will say, okay, he said there's nothing unclean of itself. If you want to eat unclean, you eat unclean, but you know the law, you ain't supposed to eat unclean. So to that person, it's okay to eat, I guess.
Okay.
Because he's saying it's not unclean. But for you, if you know the law, you know you're not supposed to eat it, it's unclean to you.
And even if they don't know the law. Okay, so thank you for your answer. Let me ask the mayor if she got an input on this.
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
We can.
Okay. That's what, if you don't eat pork, the pig itself is not unclean because it's just a pig. The pig itself is not unclean because it's just a pig. It's only unclean when you eat it.
Well, didn't the Mosaic tell you not to touch it?
Right. Oh, yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Unless you eat it or touch it. Hello.
I can't hear her.
You can't hear her.
Yeah.
You can't hear her.
No.
I hear her well.
I hear her well.
I can't hear her.
Okay, you might have to go back in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I hear you.
I can hear you.
Can you hear?
I can hear both of them.
I don't know who that
is. Okay, let me say this again.
Sister Lorraine.
It's coming out in and out.
Say something, sister.
The pig, like I was trying to say, the pig is unclean if you eat it or you touch it.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear you, but you can't hear Sister Mary.
But Denise can't hear Sister Mary.
Say something, Sister Mary.
Hello? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me, Sister Lorraine?
I can hear her.
You can hear me?
I cannot hear her.
I cannot hear her either.
Okay, I hear you.
They can't hear you.
Well, just tell them what I said.
Well, I will.
The pig, without you eating or touching him, he is not unclean. He is only unclean when you touch him or eat him.
All right.
Just like the creepy holy thing.
Okay, so I'm going to tell them what you said. All right. Can you guys hear me, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise?
Yes. Yeah,
I'm going to repeat what Sister Mary said since you guys can't hear her. Pig, in and of itself, is not unclean unless you touch him or eat him. And she's correct when she says that. I'm going to say it a little bit better way. Okay. The Most High determined that the pig was unclean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he not say it was unclean to us?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Okay.
Okay.
And it is unclean.
It is unclean.
Simply because
it's unclean.
It's unclean. So let me take you guys to another verse.
Did you hear that, Sister Lorraine?
No, everything's cutting in and out for me.
You couldn't hear what I said?
Only parts of it.
Okay, let me make
sure
you hear
it.
Sister Mary said that the pig in and of itself is not unclean unless you touch it or eat it. And that would be true. Okay. So when it says nothing is unclean in and of itself, the only reason why any animal is unclean is because of what?
Because, yeah, I said it was unclean.
That's why it's unclean. In and of itself, if he don't declare it to be unclean, it's not what? Unclean?
Right.
So let's go to Acts chapter 10. Let's see if this proves out. And we're going to start in verse 1, okay? Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared Elohim with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to Elohim always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Elohim coming into him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "Who is it?" And they got here, "Lord, but who is it, Master?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before a memorial before Elohim. Now send men to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter." Now, so Cornelius is he's a Gentile, and he's been doing everything he knows to do. And the angel said, "What, your alms will come up before the Most High?
Mm-hmm.
Now send to Joppa for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his disciples, two of his household servants, a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went, or on the next day, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's about midday. And it became very hungry and would have eaten. But while he would have eaten. He went up on top of the house. But they were what? Preparing the food?
Mm-hmm.
And while they were preparing the food, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descend unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at all four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now, this is saying all manner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, what does Peter say? So we'll learn what type of animals these are in the sea. Peter said, not so, Lord, and not so, Master, for I have never eaten anything that is what? And the voice spake unto him again the second time. What who has planned? That calleth thou not common. What Elohim has planned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you call it common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, because the vision is telling him to get down and go kill and eat these, what, unclean things?
Right.
And Elohim is telling him, Elohim told him to get down and go kill and eat, right? Did not he get the commandment from God?
Yes. Yeah.
God told him, rise up, Peter, kill and eat. Okay. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon was surnamed Peter were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, he still what? Doubting in his mind? Said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. And therefore get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, what do you think Peter would have been doubting about these men? Anybody can tell me?
That they was unclean.
That they were unclean. They're Gentiles. Now, let's prove this out. Now, wait a minute. We don't have to even prove that out. Did Cornelius send these men to Peter?
Yes.
Okay. So these are Gentiles. They're Italian. And they are Gentiles. Cornelius is a Gentile. Okay. So Peter, that's why the Spirit had to say, get down, Peter. Go with them. Three men seek thee. Now, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. I sent these Gentiles to you. So don't you be, what, doubting? Because he's going to tell you why he would have been doubting. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent from him, from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek, the cause. Why are you here? Why are you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that fears Elohim, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from Elohim by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of you. Then called he them in and lodged them. Now, this in and of itself is something because they are what? Gentiles. Now he's going to say something later. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And he talked with him, and he went in and found many that were come together. So Cornelius has gathered his household, his friends, everybody who is ready to hear this word. And he's got them at his house to hear Peter speak, okay? And he said unto them, you know, now this is Peter talking, verse 28. And everybody with me at verse 28?
Yes.
And he said unto them, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to do what?
Come unto one.
So it would have been unlawful for him to even have them in his what? House?
House.
So did he not house them that night before? He brought them into his house, and then he left and went with them, right?
Yep.
And so he's telling you right here, this is the problem. This is what the Most High is dealing with, okay? You know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company He put them up in his house, okay? And then he left with them and come to one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call, did the Most High tell him that he should not call any man uncommon or unclean?
Yes.
No,
yeah.
He didn't. No, he didn't. Now let's go back up. Finger there.
Verse 15?
Yeah, that's at verse 28. So keep your finger at verse 28. Let's go to verse 15. What has the Most High shown Peter? Did he show him some men? A seat full of men? So, Lord, for I have never eaten any men. Is that what it's talking about? I have never eaten anything common or unclean, right?
Right.
So he's using the animals. What Peter finally gets is that he's using the animals to equate to who? Verse 28. The unclean animals to equate to. It is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come to one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man what?
Common or
unclean.
How did he show him that? By using the animal. By using the unclean animal. What I have declared to be clean, don't you declare to be what?
Unclean.
Unclean. But now he's equating it to what? The men. The men. So the Most High said, there's the angel that was speaking to Peter told Peter, there's three men waiting on you. Get down and go with them and fear what? Nothing? Because under the law, it was an unlawful thing for him to do what? To keep company with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was unlawful for him to come to one of another nation. But what did God show him? Did he show him men in that city? Showed him unclean animals, right? And he's equating the unclean animals to the Gentile nations. So the vision the Most High used the unclean animals to say, I'm going to now declare the Gentiles to be what?
Clean.
I'm going to clean them up now. So you can go there. So he used the unclean animals as an example to teach Peter the lesson that it's what I declare to be clean, don't you declare to be what?
Unclean.
Now, here's somebody unclean right now downstairs this very minute. Get down and go with them. Are we making the connection?
Mm-hmm.
Because see, people will take that he used the unclean animals and say that if they leave it at that, then they will say that the Most High said there is nothing what? Unclean?
Unclean, yeah.
But that's not what he's saying. And here is, I'm about to send you to the Gentiles, and you've been told that the Gentiles are common and what?
Unclean.
And unclean. So let me use these animals that you've been told are common and unclean to equate to the Gentiles. I need to teach you a lesson. What I declare to be clean, don't you declare? If I tell you to get down and go eat something unclean, then I'm the one that said that it was what?
Unclean.
And so if I tell you to eat it, whether it was unclean or not, I can sanctify it, right?
Right.
And you can eat it. But he wasn't making a change to the law of the animals to eat or not to eat. He was simply using them as an example to equate to the nation. That's why Peter says in verse 28, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto another of another nation. Now, if he thought that this was simply about the food, then he would have said, but Elohim has showed me that I shall not call any food common or what?
Unclean.
He takes the food and equates it to what? Man. He gets, he's puzzled at first. I know the Most High ain't telling me to eat nothing unclean, but that's what he told me. But what he really wants me to know is that I'm about to save the Gentiles and I shouldn't call any man common or what?
Unclean.
Can we get that?
I got it.
Any questions there?
No, I have any. I don't have any.
Let me open up the mic for Sister Mary. Sister Mary.
Sister Mary.
Yes.
You got a question?
I don't have any questions. No, I don't have a question on that. I understand that fully.
All right. Okay, so go ahead.
But back in Romans, there was Romans, right? Second Corinthians. No, that was Romans. When he said that nothing is unclean within itself. How does that tie with this?
Because the Most High. Created everything.
Right.
And he declared what is clean and what is unclean.
And unclean.
The pig is only unclean because the Most High said it's unclean.
Right.
That's the only reason.
Okay.
Sister Denise and Sister Lorraine couldn't hear you. But she, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, Sister Mary went back to Romans chapter 14 and verse 14.
I heard it this time, Brother Miles.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what's going on then. The only reason why any of the animals, the clean and unclean animals, any of them are unclean because the Most I said they were what?
Unclean.
That's the only reason. Now he says, if I say that they are clean, they are what?
Clean.
I'm the one that said the only reason why they're unclean is because I said they're unclean. But in and of themselves, they're not unclean. Let's go somewhere. Let me see if I can help drive this home for you guys.
I'm home.
Huh?
I said, I'm home.
Oh, amen. I'm just going to make sure that we get this totally. Search. I think it's Genesis chapter 9, but just a second. I believe it's 9 or 19. Hold on a second. Go to Genesis chapter 9. Chapter 9. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
chapter 9, and we're going to get verses 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through, coming out of the ark, okay? And Elohim blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now they're coming out of the ark, okay? And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moves upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives, what is it? Every moving thing that lives shall be what?
Meat.
For who?
For you.
Even as the what?
The green herb I give you.
So what? In the beginning, there was only one tree in the garden they couldn't eat of, right?
Yes.
Was the tree of the knowledge of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil good for food?
No.
Anybody else? Chapter 1. Keep your finger there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's get verse 29. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And God said, behold, I have given you what?
Every green herb, which is upon the face of all the earth.
And every what?
And every tree, which the fruit of the same tree.
And it shall be what to you?
Me.
So all the herbs he gave to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says every tree, right?
Yeah.
But go to chapter 2. Get verse 9. And out of the ground, and when you have it, say amen.
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 And out of the ground made Yah Elohim to grow every tree that is what?
Pleasant to the sight and good for food.
The tree of the tree of life also?
Also. And of the
and what?
And the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Let's go to verse chapter 3. See if the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is good for food, okay? Let's get verse 6. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And you have it, say amen.
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 And when the woman saw the tree was good for what?
Food.
And that it was what?
Pleasant.
So which tree is he talking about? Go back to verse 5 so we can make sure we know what tree we're talking about, okay? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5. And Elohim, now this is the serpent talking, and Elohim does know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall surely be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing what?
Good and evil.
So he's looking at the tree that's right, that she's not supposed to eat from.
What?
He's looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says that the tree, when she saw that the tree was what? Good for food?
Mm-hmm.
And was pleasant to the eye. Look to look at. Good to, I mean, pretty to look at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life were good for what?
Food.
So food. And they were both what? Pleasant to the eye. So, but they were told not to eat from the what? And they were told not to eat from it because God said what? Not to eat from it?
Right.
That's the only thing, reason why they weren't supposed to eat from it. Because God said not to eat from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 9. Because we just read that all the herbs were good for food, right? Do we remember reading that?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 9, back to where we were at. Verse 3. And every moving thing that lives shall be what for you?
Meat.
Even as the green herb have I given you all things. What on here can they not eat? Where, number one, where are they at? Are they in the garden? Where is Noah and his sons at? Are they in the garden?
No.
So they don't have access to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right?
Right.
And they don't have access to the tree of life either, right?
Right.
So when he says, every tree, everything is good for you to eat, saying that he had forbidden them to eat was from the tree of the knowledge of what? They're not in the garden anymore. So they don't have access to that. So now, what's good for them to eat? Everything, right?
Yeah.
Even the swine. Even everything that is unclean. Because he hasn't declared them to be what?
Unclean yet.
He said that they were unclean animals, but he didn't put them off limits. So Noah and his sons can eat what?
Everything.
All things are good. Because the Most High hasn't said that they're what?
Unclean.
No, he didn't say that they're, you couldn't eat it.
Oh.
Every moving thing. Does a pig move?
Yes.
Do shrimp move?
Yes, they do.
Do buzzards move?
Mm-hmm.
Do rats move?
Yes.
Every moving thing shall be that liveth shall be what for you? So everything was good to eat at this time. Because he hadn't said you can't eat it. And the only reason why they couldn't eat it is because the Most High came back and said what? These things shall be clean to you and these things shall be what? Unclean to you. Are we getting this? Time that Noah and his sons could eat what? Whatever they wanted? And then the Most High, when he went to make Israel a nation, then he put these things what? Off limits. That's why he says in Acts chapter 10, what I declare to be clean, don't you what?
Declare not to be.
Right, because I'm the one that declared them to be what?
Unclean.
So if I say they're clean, they're what?
Clean.
Do we get that?
Yes.
Right here in Genesis chapter 9, he said, every moving thing shall be meat for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to eat that pig? Go ahead. It's not a sin at this point. And he could be unclean, but did he say they could eat it?
No.
that they could eat it. Everything. Now, when he goes into Leviticus and he creates Israel as a nation, he says, now, these things are what?
Unclean
to you, and you cannot touch them or what?
You'll die.
Well, he says, not touching them, you'll die. But if you touch them and become unclean and touch something holy, you shall what? Die. You can touch them, then you got to wash, and you're not what? Unclean? But if you eat them, he said, everybody I find eating them, I'm going to what? Kill.
Yeah.
So I hope we're getting this. There was a time that everything, no matter what it was considered food. If you wanted to eat it, you could eat it. There was no law saying that you couldn't what?
Eat it.
And then the Most High instituted the law saying that these things are what?
Unclean.
Them unclean. Because he said that they are unclean. So now he's got to show Peter, because this is so ingrained in Peter, that Peter would not have a change of mind or a change of heart unless the Most High used an example of the unclean animals. He would never go to one of another nation. Because there was a law saying you couldn't go to one of another nation. You were not to give your daughters to them in marriage, and you were not to take their sons in marriage. Really, they were supposed to have, what, killed everybody?
Mm-hmm.
But now the Most I said, because you are hard-hearted, I'm going to leave some of those people in the land to prove you, to see if you will go after their God and do what they say to do rather than do what I say to. So everything is geared around who? The Most High. So if I say, you know what? You can eat anything you want to eat. I'm God. I make the rules. You can eat whatever you want to eat. Then all the things you don't eat or can't eat is what you don't want to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to come close to me, and you're my people, then these things are now off limits to you. And now they're off what? Limits. You can't eat it. Not because it's changed. What changed is the Most High says it's now forbidden for you to eat it. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay. He didn't change that in Acts chapter 10 and say, now these animals clean. He had to use that as an example to teach Peter a lesson that I have told you that men are what? Unclean? The Gentile nations are unclean to you. You're not even supposed to go to them or have them as company. You're not supposed to mix with them. So he uses the animals as an example to show Peter, to teach him a lesson. That's all it is to teach him a lesson. He didn't go back and make everything clean again or make it where you could eat everything again. Because then he would, all of his cleanliness laws and his dietary laws, he would have no reason to say no unclean person is going to get into the kingdom if there's nothing unclean. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are.
So see, what the nations have done is said, okay, this verse says this, so there's nothing unclean. The Most High says clean. But he didn't make that declaration. And Messiah never said unclean animals were what? Clean? He never said that. And did the Pharisees ever get on him about eating unclean animals? So let me ask a question. I want you to think about this, and we'll wrap this up right here. Dag, I didn't know we were way after this hour. Do you think if Messiah was sucking on a pork chop bone that the Pharisees would not have gotten on him about it?
I think they would have too.
I mean, they got on him for everything, right?
Yep.
So do you think if they saw him not just eating with unclean hands, but if they saw him eating something unclean, do you think they would not have gotten on him about it? So when you're reading the scripture, when you're reading the scriptures and you're paying attention to the interface between Messiah and the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, at what they get on him about, okay? It's not about not keeping Sabbath. It's about what he what does on the Sabbath, right?
Right.
It's not about him eating unclean animals. It's about him not washing his hands. Because if he had ate, trust me, if he had eaten something that was forbidden, and even up to the time that the Most High sent the angel to Peter, eating unclean animals was still what? It was forbidden. Peter wasn't practicing eating no unclean animals. Messiah didn't tell him it's okay to go eat them, did he?
No.
They were still unclean. Messiah wouldn't have been eating unclean animals. So none of his had to deal with eating unclean animals. What he was saying, hey, if you eat something clean with dirty hands, what you ate that was clean is just going to go into the what? Into the toilet?
Mm-hmm.
But since we know that eating unclean animals is a sin, if Messiah had eaten any unclean animal, would he have sinned?
Yes, he would have.
Did he claim to be the Messiah then?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got to understand, you got to keep everything in context. Okay? Everything in context. The Most High was not saying that it's okay to eat these animals now. He used the unclean animals to represent men, the Gentile nation. Say, I'm going to clean them up now. So get down, Peter. Don't doubt anything. Go with them. Peter didn't go get a pork chop and say, you know, I've been wanting to try this for a long time. Not what he did. And that's not what he said. He didn't say in Acts chapter 10, the Most High has shown me that to treat any animal unclean or uncommon, did he? He said, he's shown me to treat no man what? Unclean or common. He got the lesson. Now we need to get the lesson. All right. That being said, let's bow our head. Father Yah, we come before you, Father. We ask you, Father, give us clarity if we still have doubt, if we still are not able to see that you are only using the unclean animals as a lesson for Peter to get him to understand that you were all the nations that you had told our forefathers that they could not mix with, that you are now going to allow them to mix with so that you could spread the gospel to both the Jew and the Gentiles. Father, your cleanliness laws, your dietary laws, all of your laws, except for where you have changed them specifically, are still in effect, Father, and you expect that we should obey and abide by them, that we should have discernment, that if nothing unclean, then why would you kill anybody that you catch eating swine's flesh when you return?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you kill anybody that you catch eating the abominable thing when you return. It would be a contradiction, Father, and you say, in you there is no confusion. So, Father, let us have perfect understanding that these things you have not allowed to be such that we could go against your word, but that we are to, if we want to come close to you, that we have to be clean and holy, just as you have said. Father, help us with our understanding if we can't see it. Open our eyes. Remove the blinders. Take the desire from us that we should feel that we should be able to eat anything and bless it. And it's okay by you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So we will pick this up. We will still be, we won't be doing necessarily clean and unclean on next week. I think we covered it enough on this week in this lesson. But we will still be looking at the question is, let me get the question. Can good works save us? We know the answer to that is no. But we're looking at the different things, because he says no unclean person can enter into the kingdom, will enter into his kingdom. And we know that it's important that we are not unclean and take part in anything holy. Being unclean, we can be unclean for what? A time period? And we can wash and become clean again. But while we are unclean, we cannot take part of anything that is hallowed. That becomes a death sentence. So I pray that we got that and understand why it's important to understand when you're in a state of cleanliness and when you're in a state of not clean. So that you don't touch anything, what, hallowed, while you are in that state. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again on Thursday night, the business meeting, may Yah bless you and keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.
All right. Let me open up Sister Mary's mic.
I thought my mic was open. I was just talking.
I bet you were. All right.
Go ahead and have your say.
You got something to say.
Huh?
Go ahead and have your say.
No, I was just saying amen and agreeing with what you said. And I fully understand now. Thank you.
All right, amen. All right.
Baptized, get dumped. I'm smoking, now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man.
Shalom.
Love you,
Sister Mary.